Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Now, Barbara, being we're still waiting for our guest, Kathy St. George, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you said that you had a story about Playboy that a lot of people know.
Sure. Well, we're not going to introduce our guest yet, and hopefully she will be arriving shortly. Let's just hope. But in the meantime, hey, I've got some of my own stories. So I was telling Johnny, I was asking Johnny if he knew that, not a lot of people know this, but I actually, since we're on the Playboy Playmate series, and that's what we're going to be doing today when the Playboy Playmate calls in, that's why I'm talking about this. I actually have shot 2 centerfolds for Playboy.
Okay.
Anybody have a question?
Well, how did that happen today? Because that's obviously very unusual.
Yes, it is unusual. Okay. Well, this is one of the luckiest things that ever happened to me in my life. I shot this centerfold. And when you do your shoot, you are in the same pose. The first day is the pose test. They see what pose looks best on you. They choose it. And that's going to be your pose for your centerfold. That takes a whole day. Everybody comes and looks, and they critique it. I mean, it is fine-tuned. I mean, there is no doubt about it. This is your best pose. So here we're trying a new thing with me. And we have the photographer way up on the scaffolding, way up into the rafters, shooting down on me. And I'm on a leopard bed, you know, leopard sheet. I am wearing like a prom dress. It's bright orange. It has a lot of plume to it. And it's covering half of my body. And, hey, I don't have anything that needs to be covered, really. I was thinking, wow, this is covering half my body. I'm laying on my side. May have my legs all twisted, kind of weird, where I would never even be in that position. How in the world could this be my best position? I was thinking.
Right.
But hey, you know, I'm young and I just, this is all new to me. They're the but I have my doubts about this whole thing. It's like, I cannot stand leopard print, really. I really don't like it.
Is there a reason? Because of animals or because it's just.
No. It's just typical. It's a typical sexy kind of print. It's typical. I'm thinking, okay, now I'm on a bed. That's typical. I'm wearing a dress. What's different about that? And I thought, wow, this doesn't really stand out much. Oh my gosh. 5 days of shooting that centerfold. And plus, the photographer's way up high. And so there's not a lot of, you know, connection there. It went to Hugh Hefner. And what he did, at least during my time, he would say yes or he would say no. And he would put a check, or he would put a, you know, a cross it out. He would cross it out, they said. And what he said on this one that came through this was, love the model, hate the pose. Exact words. And, I mean, I'm sure that got some people worried. I mean, they put a lot of money into a full 5 days all week long, shooting your centerfold with this huge crew. It's very many hours a day, and there's a lot of effort that goes into it. So I could tell there was an energy of, oh no. And by then, you know, they love you. I love them. They want to see it all work well. They want, number one, they want Hef to be happy. So that's when Marilyn Grabowski, who is the West Coast editor of the magazine, said, we are going to make Hugh Hefner happy. We're going to make Hef happy, and we're not going to take any chances. We are going to create a huge 50s diner, and we are going to put her in his favorite outfit, which is the cuffs. He loves the little hat, and he loves the little cuffs, you know, the French cuffs with the cufflinks. He loved that. I mean, look at what he designed, the Playboy Bunny costume. So I'm like, wow, and they were building this, and I fly home to Nashville, Tennessee, where I was living at the time. I fly back after they reconvened, and I walk in, and there's this huge diner, like you are in a diner, but it's a studio, and they built this like five times, built it, tore it down for my various photo shoots with the diner scene, which is memorable. Number one, memorable, okay? When you have a centerfold for the rest of your life, do you want it to be leopard print sheets and a prom dress, or do you want it to be memorable? Hugh Hefner's favorite time was the 50s. He loved it. That's when he became Heck. That was the highlight of his life when Playboy just started to, you know, take off in 1953, December, his first issue with Marilyn Monroe. And, you know, I wanted something memorable, and I got it because, and he loved it. Oh my gosh, he loved it. And I stood there for that pose test. And you know what? They had a vest around me. They kept trying to put that vest around me where I hold it. And I'm thinking, what? I don't want anything on except for these cuffs and this hat and those heels. And that's all I need. And so I saw Marilyn. Hold on. This is a big deal. I saw her, okay? With my energy, I saw her coming for one more look. And I threw down that vest. And she came in and she looked at the finished product, which they were trying to say, here it is. We got it. I threw down that vest, and she's like, there. Well, the vest was on. She's like, I don't know. I threw that vest off. I put my hands, look at my centerfold. You'll see what I'm talking about. I posed my hands just like that, and she's like, that's it. That's it. I love it. And that became my centerfold, the soda fountain jerk. And every single time, people are like, oh, yes, I remember that one. Oh, you, oh, wow. Oh, I mean, they remember it. And that is like, I'm getting chills. It's just amazing. They didn't publish the other centerfold. What?
Oh.
They did not publish the other centerfold. They redid my whole centerfold into the new theme, soda fountain shop theme. And that was my centerfold. But yes, I shot that centerfold, and I've seen that picture. I have seen that photo that was going to be my centerfold. Oh, thank God it wasn't. I've seen them use it, you know, for various things. I mean, Playboy had a lot of newsstand specials. I don't know if you've ever heard of those, but they were, like, for example, Bathing Beauties, you know, I was on the cover of a lot of these things, Playmates in Paradise. So video box covers, you know, special editions. I don't know how many they had, like 20 extra newsstand special magazines that people could buy every month, as well as the actual Playboy magazine. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I mean, I know.
Oh,
that,
tons of them.
What goes through your mind when you're posing for that stuff?
I also was on the cover of Playboy's Lingerie 1 year, their video. I don't know how many covers others have, but I think, you know, they have like maybe one or two and they're happy. I've been on 15 covers. So I really worked a lot, and they have a lot of opportunity. They did back then. They had a lot of opportunity for us to be shooting constantly for all of their other publications, which were like the newsstand specials and their videos and their box covers and the events and everything like that. So there's a lot more to it than I think people realize. And if you're good to work with, then they will hire you and hire you over and over. What was that, Johnny?
I mean, imagine you must be pretty good to work with. You've always been you know, able to be sweet and nice and everything, you know. I mean, have you ever had to do a photo shoot in temperatures that were really, really cold?
Oh, my gosh, Johnny, that was the worst. I got so burnt out on being cold and miserable on shoots and just sucking it up without complaining and hour after hour and just saying, it's going to be over sometime. It will be over. And, oh, gosh, but that was mostly on Baywatch when I worked on Baywatch, and you had to get in the ocean for all these pickup shots, and it was December, literally December, and the Pacific Ocean is not warm at that time. I don't ever think it's warm ever, so not even in the hot summer. So that, and another thing too, was there was this shoot, it was called Wet and Wild. There was that publication too. Wet and Wild was a big deal for Playboy with events and shoots and videos and magazines. And that was very cold sometimes because you were always wet. Okay, there was this one scenario where they had brought in giant, huge ice cubes. I don't know what else to call them. They're not cubes. They're twice as big as a human person. And we're standing next to them, and they're ice in some warehouse that is drafty. And literally, the crew was wearing parkas, gloves, mittens. You could see your breath when you talked. It was that cold. And guess what we were wearing, Johnny?
Not a lot of clothing.
Nothing. We were wearing nothing. Okay? Yeah. So to answer your question, I have been cold on shoots. Yes.
So in other words, I would think it would be more fun to get you in a nice relaxed environment. Obviously you must have done a photo shoot in environments where it was sort of temperature appropriate.
Well, they do a lot of that too. They do a lot of the nice photo shoots in wonderful temperatures. I've shot in Hawaii, Jamaica. I've shot in so many places with Playboy, the Bahamas, that have been the majority of the time wonderful, exotic places, wonderful warm studios. Just, you know, there's just a few. It's just not all the time where they're doing that to you. But it is a few times, and those times do stand out. But, oh, yeah, it's usually very nice and wonderful, and then you have your robe, and you're standing with your robe right there. You come off the set, or they bring it to you while you're on the set. I mean, everything to make you comfortable. They try. They try really hard to make you comfortable. Oh, I got electrocuted, too, once, too, Johnny. I got electrocuted on one of those Wet and Wild shoots. There was a scene in a laundromat. Yes, they did. They went to a real laundromat and they set up all their lights, tons of them all around. A lot of playmates, a big crew. And, you know, they set us all up. I was sitting on top of a washing machine and I set my hand down to, you know, prop myself or move myself, whatever. And I was shocked so much through that hand, up through the arm, through my whole body. And there was bubbles of water like everywhere to make it look fun and festive and bubbly. And it was in a laundromat and we were all, and I got shocked and I jumped off like, yeah, you know, when you get shocked like that and you, I mean, my reaction was just get off. So I jumped off, pounced off of that thing, bubbles flying everywhere. I mean, that could have been bad. That could have been worse.
I know. I mean, it really makes you laugh. Is your life flashing before your eyes?
Not that much, but just that, wow, gosh, I'm glad I'm okay. I'm glad. And stay away from that area, people. Not so much like I thought I was going to die. No, I didn't think I was going to die.
Has
our caller, is she trying to call in?
Yeah, I think she's trying to call in. Give me one second here.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, well, Johnny tries to connect our guest today. I would like to thank everybody for listening. And this is a little different kind of show. We hope you enjoy. Just to get some insight inside somebody's life that has done something extraordinary and see how they've enjoyed that life. What other things have they done? Did this help them reach their goals? Are they happy that they made that big decision to go for it back then? My guess is yes. So I've been in this business of entertainment for probably over 30 years now. Before I was a Playboy Playmate, I did a lot of modeling in Nashville, Tennessee, where I was based. I was there as a flight attendant, and I'm originally from Seattle, Washington, so I was out in Nashville doing that, and I would be serving my passengers on my Embraer 120 Brasilia airplane, which was a turboprop and totally cool and fast and gorgeous. I had this plane all to myself with 34 passengers, and I would do probably 6 legs a day sometimes. All of them, I'd say most every flight would say, why are you doing this? You should be a model. You should be a model. You should be a model. And I just would say, thank you. I actually want to, and I've been doing that a little bit. So that encouragement went a long way. And I thought, you know what, if people I meet that are strangers saying this, you know, it's like now or never. So I called Playboy up, and because I thought, okay, if I'm going to be a model, which I've always wanted to be, then I've got to get out of here.
I talked to Kathy. I think there was some this miscommunication about the time. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go on with what you were saying about what's going on.
Johnny, let's not even announce the person, because let's have them on when we can do the proper introduction and keep it a surprise who it is. And then I will take down my promo story about that, okay, right now. But, okay. So, well, I was talking about a lot of things while you were away trying to get that person connected, so... I don't really remember where I left it off with you, Johnny. Do you remember?
I remember you were saying about the favorite pose is what it is. You know?
Yes.
That there's a favorite pose, you know? Like,
there's a pose where we know ourselves. We know ourselves. We know how we look good. So, you know, I just thought, you know, I'm going to show them how I know I look good, and that's straight on forward. Looking at you, honey. Looking straight down. You are in face. I want it straight on, and I want a smile, and I don't want any kind of weird stuff and legs wrapped around and twisted and on my side and let's hold the hand. No! I just want to stand there with my high heels on, with my cufflinks, and I want to stare you down with a smile, and that's what I got.
Now, what's your favorite pose?
Oh, well, that's a good question, actually. Gosh. Sometimes I do bridge, and people are like, and I say, don't forget bridge. Bridge has to be in every single photo set. And people are like, what's bridge? So I'll post that on our Facebook, you know, obviously a very conservative version of it. It's not a version. It's like a conservative look of it, of what I'm wearing. I will do that pose, and I'll post it so you know what that is, okay? Because that, I think, is a nice pose. I like it. It's called Bridge.
Bridge? But how does
the bridge
work?
Johnny, there's this pose that is, like, Playboy is very well known for it, where you just kind of put your... one leg straight and one ankle, the other ankle is bent, and your knee crosses the other knee. It's just kind of that cutesy, like, Playboy stance. And that I'm doing in my centerfold. So if you want to look that up, you can. And everybody, if you want to look up Playboy Playmates, they have a website. It's called PlayboyPlaymates.com. And you can see all of them from the beginning. Our names, our month and year, our headshots, and then our social media links. They all do that for us on our PlayboyPlaymates.com. Playboy does that for us so everybody can find us. So it links to your Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter right there. So I thought that was very nice. And then also different things that we've done. There is a Playboy Plus section, which I was very flattered. I had shot for Playboy so much for many years. You do. You don't just shoot your centerfold and then that's it. Some do, and they go back to a small town life, or they get married, or they don't feel like doing it again. I don't know. But I did. I wanted to make a career out of it. So, I just kept, I moved to Beverly Hills. So I was close to Playboy. That helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And being on time, like you said, you're always sweet, easy to work with. But you also, if you know what you're doing, if you're good at what you're doing, if you know how to pose, if you know how to pose and make it look really natural, if you have ideas, I don't know. It just seemed like, why waste it? Go do a great job, and then they'll bring you back. If you go and you're rude, or you act like a prima donna. That was a big thing back then. People would act like a prima donna. Like, they were, like, so hot. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, you're lucky to even be in my presence. I never would like that. It just can't be that way. That's just not me. So I think that made it to where people would call me back for, Fredericks. I worked for 10 years. Fredericks of Hollywood and Shirley of Hollywood and all of these swimwear companies. I was just working for them year after year or month after month. I mean, there's a lot to do. So, that is one of my things that I tell a new model that's coming along when they ask for any advice. I just always say, be nice on your shoots. Be on time. Be nice. Things happen sometimes, not on time or something, but that's rare. But for the most part, be the person that people can count on. Then show up like you better look like your photo. You know what I mean? If they didn't book you.
That's true.
In person, true. Right? Really? Have you heard of horror stories like that where they book from the photo and they show up and they don't look like the photo anymore? Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that, yes. I mean,
Look like your photo. Gotta look like your photo. But there was one time I got hired, I think it was in Pennsylvania, for a trucking company to shoot with a big, huge semi-truck, and I had cut my hair shorter, and they had hired me. They wanted the long hair. Then I did put in the clip extensions, and I showed up with those on, and they never even knew.
Do you feel like when you do a photo shoot, what's the most nervous you've ever been with the photo shoot?
The most germs?
The most nervous you've been.
Oh, nervous. Oh. Nervous. I don't remember really being nervous. Photo shoots didn't make me nervous, Johnny. They just didn't. Ever. They did not make me nervous. And I've shot with Helmut Newton, so famous of a photographer. He is passed away now. I have a Helmut Newton book here, my coffee table book. I love him. I've loved him since I was a teenager when I was living in New Jersey, going into New York City and looking through all of the bookstores and poster stores and the art. I love art. And then I would see Helmut Newton's work. Oh, my gosh. And I I bought cards and I would send to people. I love this Helmut Newton guy. I mean, he's so cool. Do you see his ideas? Then lo and behold, years and years later, he chose me to shoot. We all came in for an interview one by one with him, and he brought me back to do the shoot for his coffee table book, and it was really cool. He's world renowned. Do you know of him, Johnny?
No, I don't, but you're saying he's a very big photographer?
Yes, he's passed away now, though, but that was a really cool experience. It was at the Playboy Studios on Sunset Boulevard when they were there, and I come in literally done with the shoot. As I came on the set and off, it was literally 45 minutes. That's it. I mean, a lot more for the hair and makeup beforehand, but the actual shoot, 45 minutes. Now, that was amazing. And he's like, I got it. He knows when he has it, so he stops. Yeah. That's how he worked. That was amazing. And his wife was his assistant. They were very efficient. I love my photo. It's pretty cool. It when an icon is photographing you and you are in their book, that's pretty cool. And then on top of that, when you actually like the photo, even better. And would you like to hear the theme that I was portraying in the photo? Would you like to hear about it?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I was holding a Bible high. No, I was holding the Bible low, and I had a bullhorn, and I held that high. So I got the Bible down in the left hand, the bullhorn up high in the right hand with a straight to the camera stance. No bent legs, straight. Chanel high heel, closed toe, classy pumps, nothing else, and the most beautiful hair coif. I call it a coif because it was one. You'll have to see it. It's just like a perfect like S wave, and then it's just smooth with a red lipstick, and I am preaching. So my mouth is like in the middle of like shouting, kind of like that's all he wanted me to do. No other expressions, just the shout mouth. That's what I did. And that behind me was this tarp, and it had this artwork of a lot of people's heads in an artistic way drawn behind me, like I was on a pulpit and I was preaching. I was nude.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the Chanel shoes and the coif. And you don't need any words. You just look at the photo and you know what the photo is saying and representing. And I thought that is amazing. That's cool. Then sometimes I look at some of his photos and there is a woman who is laying on asphalt with the road paint arrows, and then she's pointing, and you know, and I'm trying to like figure that photo out, you know, mine I could figure out, and then I was trying to figure that one out. You guys have to go look at the Helmut Newton works, and you will see what I'm talking about. But I love that he, with photography, made you think so much about what was going on. It's so artistic, and Hugh Hefner loved Helmut Newton. And featured him in the magazine. Actually, featured him before I shot with him in my issue, December 1992. He had an interview in my issue. Mm-hmm. A couple years later, I shot with him. Go ahead. What?
What was the first time you looked at your issue?
Well, Alexis Vogel, the makeup artist, brought me, she goes, oh, your layout's so great, Barbara. Here it is. So they printed out in black and white on the Xerox copier, and she brought it to me, but I only had seen it in the black and white, like, copy machine. And so at least I knew what photos, what poses, what photos they chose. She thought it was great. So, you know, I've got a lot of enjoyment just watching her get excited about what was going on in my whole shooting process, you know, and every day. This Alexis Fogel, who we had on the, well, we didn't have her on. We kind of had her on, right, Johnny? I mean, we had eight Playboy Playmates, and we had Alex, we were channeling her. I don't know if that's the proper word, but we had Psychic Medium on, and we were able to talk and hear Alexis Fogel again because she touched so many of our lives. She was a makeup artist for many years there. We, you know, some work so lucky, and they went with the other crew. I mean, there was two. There was one photographer, and then she did the makeup for that one. And there was the other photographer, and then there was a makeup artist with that one. And I actually asked for that crew. And Marilyn gave me whatever I wanted. I don't know why. I mean, it was just, it was really great. Did you hear about Cooper Hefner running for a Senate position?
Oh, no. When did that happen?
Oh, just it was announced a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. It's some kind of a, I don't know, maybe a test or a promo. I don't know. They're putting a swing into it. And they have his picture of him in the Army and the various pictures of him. It's all over the news. Just go check it out, everybody. So that was quite interesting when I heard about that. And, oh, the reason I bring that up is because when I came along, I keep talking about Marilyn. Marilyn Grabowski, she was one of the editors, okay, the main West Coast photo editor. So that's a very important position, working side-by-side with Hef. And Hef was so into knowing every photo, every article, every feature in that issue. Very much involved, like involved. He was involved. I mean, that's just how it was, which is awesome. And so she was right next to him, side by side, doing that. So when she would have ideas or let me go into the wardrobe and say, Barbara, the Midsummer Night's Dream Party is in a couple of weeks. Go into wardrobe and pick anything you want out and wear that. You know, like that kind of woman, amazing, and saying to me, okay, it's February. I know you really want to come out, but I'm going to save you for December. I want you to be my gala Christmas issue. I'm going to save you for 8 months. But then bringing me back for so many covers and so much work and so much of this and that, and departments start to get to know you. And I think that however mine happened, because this Playboy Playmate series, we're all talking about how we became Playboy Playmates, but also like what happened right afterwards. How lucky is that, though, that what if I just came right away and they put me in a few months later, boom. Or was it better to have to wait? Was it better to wait those 8 months on pins and needles because I had so much other opportunity coming in waiting, you know? And they tell you, you are. I mean, you're set. It's not like you're set maybe. No, you were set. I knew I was going to be Miss December 92. And everybody else knew, too. So they were shooting you nonstop for everything else. I think that it probably was good the way it happened then for me. I love dissecting all of it. And every Playboy Playmate story of how it happened with them is so interesting to me. So hopefully we can reschedule our
or whatever
celebrity play.
But I mean,
what?
I hope that, but I mean, I do love your story. Now, I mean, did you, would you like to maybe wrap this up, or did you have other aspects of the story? Do you have other aspects, or?
Oh, is this not an hour long show?
No, it's actually it can be an hour. I just didn't know if you were. So it sounded like you were wanting to wrap up, but we can go talk for another 30 minutes.
Well, let's talk for 25 more minutes. 35.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Johnny. Oh, never what? Mind. Sounds like you've got one ready. Oh.
No, go ahead and ask me.
I was going to ask as a fan, what is your favorite thing about Playboy? What makes Playboy so special to you that you want to know Playmates?
What I love is the fact that you always shoot down the stereotypes. You know, you're not beautiful woman can't have anything, you know, upstairs or whatever it is. I mean, and they don't just wow you with being good looking, they wow you because of their personality. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
isn't that nice? Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of like the full package, right?
The full package.
The full
package, I think
that's what Hef was looking for. I think Hef was looking for the full package. I think he was looking for the girl next door who was sweet, friendly, and vibrant, and healthy, and, hey, sex. What is wrong with it? I've watched this new show on Amazon Prime Video. It's called American Playboy. They take you through from the beginning to probably around the millennium time of Hef's life. And it's great. And it's an actor, but yet they slice it with like real clips of Hef. So they'll show you what the Playboy Club looked like with a lot of scenes with the Playboy bunnies and costumes and things. I really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot about what Hef did, who he was, what he went through in all years as it went along. Quite interesting. I really recommend that. And so I just watched that. That's on Amazon Prime Video right now. So I think that's what Hef, when you watch that, you'll see that's what he wanted. He wanted the girl next door. Well, at first he was trying to get how can you top like the top movie star of all time at the time was on his first issue. So
now
that was really hard. So that was hard to top. So he stopped trying to top it. And then he went with like his secretary and she shot. Oh my gosh, that was such a surprising, huge success. It really shocked him. Okay, so then he's like, wow, the readers love the girl next door. So, but he was quite picky about the girl next door, I must say. I just got the chills on my arms. Wonder what that means. Is Vanessa there? Is Vanessa listening?
No.
Hi. No, she's not.
But I'll tell you.
You never know. How do you know?
I don't know, but I'll tell you.
How do you
know? I
don't
know. Maybe Vanessa's ears are itching right now. I don't know. But,
I love it when Vanessa is there and calls in and has a little bit to say, but if she doesn't, that's fine too. I know that if we had at the end of our Playboy Playmate, if she could just be there, if she is there to talk to them, they all love these psychic readings so much. They get very excited about it, you know? And I would love that to them. She loves talking to the Playmates and getting to know them as well. I know that. She loved Christine Smith.
I know.
Are we going to have Christine back on soon to teach us something about medicinal?
Did Vanessa mention Christine Smith specifically?
Oh, yeah, but that was right after we had Christine Smith on. That we should have her on again,
okay.
And we could have tried to, but maybe she's busy. But we need to learn about her company more, which is the medicinal marijuana.
Yeah.
It's helping so many people.
That's
it's
true.
Helping tons of people. Yes, and that was the first time I ever met Christine Smith, too, is on our show when we interviewed her. I've never even met her. Well, maybe I have. I don't know, in passing at the mansion, but it's so fun to do this series so I can meet some of the Playmates that I haven't met yet, the newer ones, and that's always so fun. And I love it. They're really cool with me. A lot of the newer ones, you know, when I did the 60th anniversary and I was in the black, iconic black bunny costume, some would just run up to me. Oh, you're Barbara Moore. You're Barbara Moore. Wow. Can I have a picture with you? It's like they know you. You know, they've been watching you. They've been looking at your photos like everybody else and dreaming and having dreams of them becoming that too, you know, and they,
right.
they really love you. And I didn't know that. See that happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, but you do, when you look back on it now, do you see yourself as a different person as what, like, before you became a playmate as opposed to after?
Oh, yes. Much different. I do often wonder what it would be like if I went and tried to be a playmate, went to go do the test shoot, and they said no. I mean, gosh, can you imagine? And there's tons of those out there. There's thousands probably.
Are the different stories. Like, for example, you know, like, from what I understand, Elkie, when she was a playmate, her parents were kind of nervous about all of it. Whereas Terry Lynn Doss, you know, when she became a playmate, her parents, they put the issue on the coffee table for months.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Because that's different types of people. With mine, it was two complete different kind of entities. Like, my mom, she would never put it on the coffee table in a million years. My dad put it on the coffee table, you know. So that is a factor in everybody's decision, I'm sure, because we're very young. I mean, early 20s, 23 is the average age statistically of a playmate when they become one. So that's young. That's pretty much right after high school. I mean, high school was like right, you know, behind you. So you are really close. You do care about your family and your friends and what they're thinking. I do remember I was in Nashville. I'm not from Nashville. Nobody I even know is from Nashville. I ended up there because I was based there from Seattle, Washington. But when I was living there, I made a good friend who was my roommate, and I told her that I was testing for Playboy and I was flying out there to do a test and hopefully become a centerfold, and she never wanted to talk to me again.
Why?
It's very conservative. It's the Bible Belt. I think it's just a conservative city. Maybe not now, but back then it was. And she's come around. We never really talked about it, but, I mean, she was not happy with me. That literally was the only negative thing, the only negative person. The only person who was a little bumming me out by saying, not even saying anything, but just looking at me, like, down on me, like, looking with this frown and the down and the, you know, gosh. So, but she came around. She always wants to talk on Facebook and stuff now. But she did that. Uh-huh. But thank God nobody else did. But when she did do that, a negative response to it when I told her, then I thought, God, what's going to come next? But nothing ever did come next. Everybody else was totally cool with it. Everybody else liked it. Even my mother, when I brought her to the Playboy Mansion and she sat by Tony Curtis for dinner, she said, I like this place.
Well, don't they have like 20... I remember, I don't know who it was that told the story. I think it was either Donna Perry or something. I forgot who it was. Told the story about how they had 24-hour room service. Like, you could, and she ordered room service.
I told you that
out of the
story,
dope.
Donna Boy. Johnny.
And it was like.
She said what? That too, yeah. Uh-huh. What?
And she said, you know, okay, I'll order a steak and shrimp. Okay, what?
Right. Like,
I mean,
like, right? And then it comes. Right. Yeah, that's how it was. I mean, if you want French fries at 4 a.m., you're going to get French fries at 4 a.m. I mean, that's how it was. And it could have been so much different. There could have been so much different. But Hef was Hef. And Hef was the coolest guy. I loved Hef. And I hardly ever really talked to him because, oh, that's what I was getting to about the Cooper Hefner thing. when I came to shoot and do my test and do all my shoot, I probably was back and forth 10 times. I stayed at the Playboy Mansion, and it would be like probably 5 days to maybe a little longer, 5 to 10 days at a time, shooting stuff, but also having fun. And the little boy, he had two, but the little Cooper was the youngest, and he was in the high chair. And I would have breakfast with this Cooper Hefner every morning before I left the shoot. And it was just this little baby with his nanny and eating his little baby food with me. And I took pictures with him. I have tons of those pictures of him in the high chair. And he loves the pictures. And can you believe it? It's like, okay, I'd like to say that we don't change, but they did. They grew up right in front of our eyes. The other boy from Kimberly and Hef is, his name's Marston Hefner. He's more in the background. I don't know what he's doing up to now, but Cooper took the seat in the forefront of, you know, being really involved with the magazine. And he does look a lot like Hugh Hefner. And he's very handsome and he's tall. That's the difference. He's tall. And he's doing a lot of things. I think it's cool. I think it's great. But I always often wonder about the other brother, what he's doing.
What's his name?
Marston, which is Hef's middle name, Marston. Marston Hefner.
What was Hef like in the later part of his life?
Oh, it's just like anybody. He was getting old and feeble, and everybody was kind of sad. I remember the last Playmate of the Year party, luncheon. That's where all the Playmates would come from all around, and they would see each other at this Playmate of the Year luncheon. I think it was a great idea to have this Playmate of the Year thing because it offered another celebration to where everybody wanted to come together, and it was in the day. It was a luncheon, and it was really nice. And you'd see your Playmate friends all in one day. But sometimes at the parties, you know, you wouldn't really see everybody. They'd be darting everywhere and it was dark. Here, a luncheon, you see them all. I loved this. And then he didn't come down that time. And it was so sad. And Cooper got up there and he said, "My dad isn't feeling up to coming down." And that's when I knew the numbers are going to, the days are going to be limited. But that's really nice, though, to just live a long life to your 90s and then just basically die of older age complications, you know? I mean, that's a full life right there. And what was he like? I mean, he was old and feeble. I don't know how much more to describe him. My daughter, you go up there for Easter because he did the whole thing for the family. He did the Playboy Playmate, like the Easter for us. We could bring our guests, our family, our children. He would have the whole, all the employees paint for 3 months prior the eggs, and they would blow out the yolk and they would hand paint these eggs, 9,000 eggs, and they would hide them all over the grounds. And you'd come with your child and you would line up and enter their name by age category, and whoever found the most eggs, and they let the young ones go first for a while, and then the second ones go for a while, and the ones that were about like 9 or 10, they would go crazy. So I had been bringing my daughter up there year after year, and of course all the boys, they're such go-getters, and they come back with bags of eggs. They even give you trash bags, like see-through trash bags, to collect them because the Easter baskets can't hold enough. And the parents are able to help. If they're under 9, you can help your child find the eggs. Otherwise, you cannot help. So the last year that she was 9 in that category of where the parent could help, I brought another pair of shoes. So I took my high heels off. And when they said, "Go," I had my flat shoes on, and I was determined to have my daughter win that year. You get a picture with Hugh Hefner. He gives a huge gift to the child. Everybody claps. The You know, it's all a gather around. Yeah, it's a gather around moment. He has the bullhorn. He announces the child's name. And then you always recognize, sometimes you recognize the last name because it's like maybe the production company's last name or something. And it's their kid, you know? And it's just like, it's so funny. Guess what? Priscilla Moore, she won. Oh my gosh. I helped her. 452 eggs we found. No, I'm sorry, 152, not 400. 152 eggs we found, and we won. And we beat the boys and everything. And she got a really cool three-wheeler type of scooter thing and a Hello Kitty helmet. Very fun, nice gift. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay. Well, it's been a great interview with you. Do you want to go ahead and do the shout-out?
Sure. I'd like to do the shout-out with you, though, tomorrow. Can you just tell the audience, our listeners, who we have coming up?
Well, tomorrow we have Dr. James Gideon. He's an internist and a rheumatologist. And he's going to talk to us about the coronavirus. And he's a little bit optimistic about it. So it's
okay,
good.
Great. So we have this doctor. Please tell the listeners his name again. Doctor? What is his name again,
Dr.
please?
James
I'm writing it down.
Gideon. Dr. James Gideon.
James Gideon. Okay, we have him for tomorrow, everybody. And then the next day, who do we have?
We have Mariah Davis. And
okay,
then
great.
On
she
Friday,
is a playmate.
Yes.
From
and
the
then
90s.
On Friday, we have Bill Sear. Right?
Great.
Okay,
great. And when is
All
our
right.
next? And wait, Johnny, when are we going to do our next episode of the TV channel, Roku channel?
I believe on the 21st, your friend Mark, right?
Nick,
right?
Mark. Yeah, Nick. I'm like, Mark? Okay, great. We're going to have Nick on, and he's going to teach us and have us learn how his journey has been as an NFL pro football kicker star is doing in his life now, working with homeless and other exciting things that he's doing. So that'll be fun. So everybody, please follow us on Facebook, Life, Laughter, Happiness, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and, of course, our YouTube channel where you can listen to this show again and find all of our other ones.
Right.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Okay. Good night, Barbara.
Good night, Johnny Boy.